Tennis Pulse on the go, the heartbeat of tennis. We had to talk about some of the moments really from the French Open that have just touched our hearts. But first, I want to ask you all, who is winning the French Open? Who's winning Roland Garros this year? Federica.
Wow. Oh, I start. Okay. I think it's going to be between Alcaraz, Musetti, Fonseca, and Sinner. One of these four.
Okay. And on the women's side?
Arina Sabalenka. And I think also Mira Andreeva.
Okay.
And why not Paolini this year? That would be amazing.
Okay. Okay. Charlie, I see you rolling your head. Let's go to you.
I pick Sabalenka and Sinner.
Okay. Zani?
Simple. I love it. I'm going to have to go with Sabalenka. She is hungry for that bacon, to bring home the bacon. I have to put Coco Gauff in there. I don't know. I'm just going to throw her in as a would have been wild card. Mira Andreeva as well. I read that combined Sabalenka, Gauff, and Andreeva, they both reached combined 8 finals in slams or the 1,000 events in 2025. So I'm pushing for those three. And Alcaraz, of course, and
yes.
Sinner. I have to put my Sinner back in. I know you love him, Lindy.
I'm going for who's winning Roland Garros. I put Coco Gauff and Carlos Alcaraz. Those were mine.
Outside for the men, sorry. Draper. I'm giving a little bit of a go for Draper and Musetti, of course.
Okay.
And Charlie, I talked to you about Arthur Fils, but I think you said he's not ready just yet.
Yeah, I mean, all the names mentioned, they have the potential to be in the circle of potential champions here. But I mean, to win a Grand Slam, I don't think Musetti is ready. I don't think Fonseca is ready, although they play great. So I would narrow down as well to I believe Draper on clay, I don't think he can push through it. That's why it's in my opinion, will be between Sinner and Alcaraz, although I favor Sinner to win it.
Charlie, I have a question about Arthur Fils, because I think, you know, he's such an exciting player. And with the French crowd, him being French himself, I just don't you feel like this could give him this kind of extra motivation just to go even further? I feel like he could be like at least Final Four, maybe not winning, but yeah.
No, definitely. Like he also belongs to these other names who can possibly go very deep and far in the tournament. So he has a huge game, and especially here in Paris, as you all realized by being here. If you're playing a French player, it's double hard because the people going crazy, and it can help him. Could honestly also add an extra pressure on him to do really well here in front of his home crowd. You never know, but he has a huge game, and he needs a little bit more time. Then he can, in my opinion, definitely win a Grand Slam. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on to the moment that had me crying. Ooh. The Rafael Nadal tribute. I mean, 22 Grand Slams, 14 of them French Open titles. He spent 209 weeks at number one. I think he finally actually got the tribute that he deserved. Mm-hmm. And it was a stadium full of matching shirts, which I heard were reselling for the price of 500 euros, by the way.
Yep.
Probably more.
Yep.
To getting a plaque with his footprint on center court. And I must say, a slightly questionable trophy, because that trophy was a bit whack. But I think the King of Clay really finally got his flowers and a proper emotional tribute. What was your favorite part?
Can I start?
My favorite part.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Zani's the biggest fan. Zani, go ahead.
Okay.
You're the biggest fan.
I'm the biggest fan. I was
because
actually,
I literally okay. She couldn't watch it, everyone. So I literally had to. I don't know. I had to video it for her and show her, and she was watching it from my screen.
She's like in tears on the sofa, like. No, I was actually at the Nadal Academy last weekend, and it was very quiet because I think everybody was in Paris, so it was like crickets there. Sadly, it's a beautiful facility, Nadal. Well done. It was nice to feel his energy and vibe and soul there. I went through the Rafael Nadal Museum, saw all of his trophies, the shoes he wore, to the cut-off shirts he wore. It was just really epic, and I felt quite emotional. And then coming home to see the tribute was really remarkable. My top three favorite moments was the Big Four coming out, Roger Federer, Andy Murray, and Djokovic all stepping out looking fine in their like beautiful custom suits. I don't know what it was, but just coming out on the clay, owning it, and just giving like their respect and love to Nadal. That was like such a beautiful moment to see them all come together as like competitors and now just companions. And that was, for me, super special. And then I have to say, yeah, Nadal getting his footprint plaque on the court and just seeing his reaction, because he had no idea. That was so beautiful. And he was just crying like a baby.
He was so crying. So sweet.
I was like, oh, I just wanted to give him a hug. And then my last favorite moment was Nadal leaving the court with his son. I thought that for me was such a beautiful moment to see him step out of a chapter of that was so big in his life. And then with a new chapter in his arms and entering the next stage of his life. So it was such a beautiful send off. His little boy was waving to the crowd. I thought that was so cute. He's adorable. And later backstage, they showed Nadal introducing him to, I'm sure they've met him before, but like high-fiving Andy Murray and Djokovic and Federer. They were all high-fiving his little son. So I thought that was really sweet. I'm sad.
Yeah, I mean,
you really said it all.
Basically, you mentioned all the moments, but my favorite definitely was when he got the footprint. Because, you know, I thought they're going to name the court in the future Rafael Nadal court. Mm. But then on the other hand, it's Philippe Chatrier. They couldn't do that. And then getting the footprint, I think, was very special for Nadal. And yeah, I think that's when he broke down and so really got so emotional. And it meant a lot to him.
Apparently he broke down in tears because he thought it was just temporary. When he understood that it was there to stay forever, it was super emotional, of course, for him. But yeah, also my favorite moment was when he picked up his son. It was such a cute moment. And his son was just playing along like it's meant to be in front of a crowd, already a super little superstar. But also, did you guys pick up on the energy between Djokovic and Murray?
No.
Oh,
you didn't?
Oh.
You felt that it was
weird. Yeah. Look back. There is a slightly uncomfortable feeling in Andy being there. I could feel it and sense it.
Well, I think Andy's like, I have only won three majors. They've won like a million majors. He's like, why am I here?
But also because of their partnership just recently ended and they got together there, and I think it was a little bit awkward. I kept on reading that, and it was also a smiley moment in a lot of tears.
Yeah, but you're
look back at that.
I'm gonna go rewatch that.
I didn't pick up any tension, but maybe you're right, because there must have been something what didn't work out, and then probably awkward meeting there on such a big stage.
Well, have you seen the press conference of Djokovic? And it was asked this question: how is the relationship there? How was it seeing Andy after you just ended your working relationship? And he said, no, you know, everything was okay, but there's some jokes about, and he sent him a text apparently saying, now that you have a better coach, you're winning tournaments, because he actually completed his 100 without being with Andy. So, and then, you know, you see them together. I could sense that and think.
Oh, interesting. I'm going to look back. We got to check it out.
I'm going to look back too.
Yeah.
Let's talk about someone else that retired this year, Carolina Garcia, former world number four. She broke down in the tunnel before she had her last match. And she said, I knew this would be my last Roland Garros, and the tears have come every single day. What hit you from that?
I think she had a great career. I think we will still see her around, you know, the sport. She has a wonderful podcast. She's doing a great job there. Mm-hmm. Great player. She's very much loved by most of the other players. Mm. So I'm sure that she will still be around.
Yeah.
And she's engaged, going, you know, she's happy. It's happy tears at the end.
But there are more emotions coming up. I think Gasquet is playing now Sinner, and it's last tournament. So, and he's gone on Saturday. There's this big Gasquet celebration, similar to Nadal leaving the sport. So this is going to be, I mean, what a dream for Gasquet, playing on Roland Garros.
Yeah.
Probably losing to Sinner, I would assume. But playing his last match there, it's like a dream come true.
After his win, his first run win, he said, it's a pleasure to feel that I'm still a tennis player.
Yeah.
And I must admit, too, sometimes when I see him still on the court, I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, he's still playing.
Yeah, wonderful to have this match against Yannick.
Yeah,
I have no emotions. All my emotions got exhausted after the Nadal tribute. I'm like teared out. I have no more tears for you, Caroline Gossier. So sorry. I love you as a player, or Gasquet, but great for them. But I'm sad from Nadal still. I'm mourning Nadal.
Me too.
I tell you what got me in tears even more was seeing Naomi Osaka in the press conference.
Yes, we were going to go to that. Yes.
Yeah.
Very sad.
That was tough. I really wanted to go through the screen and just go there and give her a hug and tell her.
I think the world did.
You're amazing, and what you're doing is incredible, and you don't need to show anything to anybody.
Yeah, you don't have nothing
and
to
carry
prove.
On, nothing to prove. I think she's just an amazing player, and she has so much to say. Every time she steps on the court, she tries harder and harder, and we do love and appreciate this. And the pressure she's putting herself into, it's
too much.
Not okay. It's too much.
Yeah, but it explains. Like it explains a lot. You know, if she feels like that. I mean, it must have been horrible for her the last few years, or the entire career, playing for somebody else or for her reputation, or not losing the face or respect. I think it's also a cultural thing coming into that. But it must be a huge weight on her shoulders.
I feel like she's playing against not only her opponent, but like so many other people. You know, she's carrying this weight. You can see it when she's on court, and it doesn't look fun to watch her go through it. And of course, it's super sad. And I actually thought, coming back from being a mom, you know, and now playing as a mom, she would have a lot of this, you know, more light in her. And I'm just, it's sad not to see that. You know, I thought she would have more fun with it and not take it so hard. But it's sad because I really, really love her as a player. I think she's super talented. Four Grand Slams. I mean, she's an amazing player. And so let's see where it can go. But
you know what I would like to do? Can we just say like just a couple words to her directly? Okay, I'm going to start. Hi, Naomi. It's Lindy Way from the Tennis Pulse. We just want to say, we think you're amazing. You don't need to prove anything to anyone. Keep on going and keep your head held high.
Well said. I think, Naomi, you are incredible. And what you're doing for the sport and for us as fans, it's extraordinary. And keep on doing. You're my favorite mama player, and we love watching you.
Hi, Naomi. It's Sonny from the Tennis Pulse. I am a big fan of you, and I hope you continue to just be your incredible self. You have so much love and light that you exude out and on the court and off the court, and keep doing it for the mamas like me.
Hi, Charlie, what Naomi. Do you want to say to Naomi?
Yes. Hi, Naomi. you proved everything to everybody, you know, and don't give a, can I say that? Don't give a shit about what people think. Just care about yourself.
Amen.
Yeah. Well done.
Okay. Charlie, I want to talk about some of these first round defeats. Okay. Ooh. Peyton Stearns was out. Taylor Fritz is out. Emma Navarro is out. Cerundolo's out. Marta Kostyuk's out. Medvedev's out. So many great players. Is it nerves or is it just the pressure of a slam or is it just like bad luck matchups? What is making this first round so dangerous even for the favorites?
I think the conditions were very slow when during the first 2 days. It was raining and possibly then other players have a better chance. Honestly, I think it's coincidence and it just happens that, you know, some pairings for the top players are not matching for their first rounds and then they go out because it also says that, you know, the tennis is getting very close. Every player who is in the main draw can beat any player and that's why it's happening.
Okay. So this is the wrap up of the first week. We still have the weekend to go and next week. So we're excited to get back and watch some more Roland Garros. And we thank you for watching the Tennis Pulse. Keep feeling the heartbeat of tennis. Don't forget to subscribe.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Ciao.